Khuzestan province in southern Iran. So let's see what Alejandro from Argentina says. In his email, actually, Alejandro says, "Hi, I am glad that I could catch your signals here in Buenos Aires, Argentina, a few days ago. I attached an audio clip sample. The reception was good with a lot of noise, but overall the reception was good. Thank you for your precious efforts. Waiting for a verification from your side. God bless you all. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Alejandro from Argentina. Appreciations to you for this email, and it's good to hear that the signals of IRIB English Radio can be heard in Buenos Aires, Argentina, which is very far from Iran. Thank you very much for sending this email to your favorite radio, IRIB English Radio. God bless you too. An electronic QSL will be sent to you as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs." Had a very great time together, but we have to say goodbye because we have come to the end of this edition of Listeners Special. But before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails from around the world, including Frank Tis from the Netherlands, Ayush Kumar Das from India, Musharraf Hussain from India, Mohammad Briel from Malaysia, and Alejandro from Argentina. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll discuss some of the contents of chapter Naml, the 27th chapter of the Holy Quran, as well as some of the commentary points of the verses. Dear listeners, let's listen to the 7th and 8th verses of chapter Naml.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِأَهْلِهِ إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا سَآتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِخَبَرٍ أَوْ آتِيكُم بِشِهَابٍ قَبَسٍ لَّعَلَّكُمْ تَصْطَلُونَ
Mentioned when Moses said to his family, Indeed, I have perceived a fire. I will bring you from there information, or will bring you a burning torch that you may warm yourselves.
فَلَمَّا جَاءَهَا نُودِيَ أَن بُورِكَ مَن فِي النَّارِ وَمَن حَوْلَهَا وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ
But when he came to it, he was called. Blessed is whoever is at the fire and whoever is around it, and exalted is Allah, Lord of the worlds.
The stories of this chapter begin with the story of Prophet Moses. The word Moses has been mentioned in the Quran 436 times, and his story has been told in 24 different chapters. So, explanations concerning the children of Israel is studied in about 900 verses of the Quran. Moses, accompanied with his wife, who was pregnant, and they were going from Midian towards Egypt. On one side, the darkness of the night in the cold, stormy weather of the desert, and on the other, the childbirth of his wife forced Moses for search, a thorough search. The verses under discussion are about this very event. So here, the verse points to the most sensitive moments of Moses' life. That is, when the first light of revelation enlightened his heart, and he was acquainted with the message and speech of Allah. The verse says, إِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِأَهْلِهِ إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا سَآتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِخَبَرٍ أَوْ آتِيكُم بِشَهَابٍ قَبَسٍ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَصْطَلُونَ So, when Moses said unto his family, Verily I perceive a fire, soon will I bring to you news of it, or I will bring you a flaming brand that you warm yourselves. This event happened by the same very night when Moses was in a dark desert on the way towards Egypt, accompanied with his wife, which was Shu'aib's daughter, and he lost the way. Then a terrible storm began to blow. And at the time, he saw his wife feeling the pains of childbirth. Moses thought he severely needs to make a fire in order to use its warmth. But there was nothing in that desert for it. As soon as he saw the light of a flame from distance, he became happy. He took it as a sign of existence of someone or something or some people over there. So he told them that he would go and bring them either some news from it or a burning firebrand, so that they might warm themselves by it.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this
series
of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran
by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So as I said, Moses was in this difficult situation. And it is noteworthy that Moses says he brings them news or flaming brand, the pronoun of which is plural, and this shows that there had been a child or children with him too, except for the one that was in the mother's womb, because this marriage had happened in Midian 10 years before that. Or it may be for the sake that in that horrible desert, the idea could give some further calmness to his addressees that I am talking to you in plural, that you will certainly have your child with you. Anyway, in the next verse, Quran indicates that Moses left his family there, he moved towards the place where he had seen a fire. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهَا نُودِيَ أَنْ بُورِكَ مَنْ فِي النَّارِ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا. So when he came unto it, a voice was heard. And what was that voice? We'll discuss this thoroughly in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Rabbana. Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key with Sheikh Rouhani on RIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا بالقاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear and respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In this series of the programs of The Key, we are here to answer some of the questions regarding the occultation of the 12th Imam, Imam al-Asr wa huna fida. And of course, the importance of this Imam, the importance of believing in this Imam, and the benefits of the existence of this Imam of the age. Today we are going to shed light on some important points about the benefits of this Imam, particularly in his occultation. You know that there is no doubt that the people benefit from the existence of the Imam of the time. And this actually receipt of benefits takes different forms. First, for example, as the existence of the Imam of the time, who is total manifestation of the perfect man, Insan al-Kamil, that we say, is the philosophy of life. And if there were no such a human being, life is as good as a, let's say, lifeless body. And actually a red scorching actually desert. So in the other words, the earth devoid of the hujjah or the proof is futile and useless. Therefore, his sacred existence is the ultimate cause of the, let's say, perpetuity of life. On this basis, all human beings, both the faithful and the faithless, owe their lives to his blessed presence, because he is the reason or the proof or the hujjatullah ta'ala ala al-ard. And the second point is that it can be understood from in some of the traditions that the Imam of the age may be actually may we be ransomed for him. These actually are Imam of the age or sometimes present among people, albeit no one recognized him, as stated in some of the riwayat. And one of the occasions in which the Imam has an actually incognito presence in the Hajj rites, it was mentioned in some of the hadith that sometimes the Imam is present but the people cannot recognize him at that moment. For example, among the faithful and his sincere followers, there are those who earn the merit to see and meet this Imam as a result of their self, let's say, refrainment and inward purification. Although they might not be aware of this reality during that moment, and in this way they would be able to spiritually benefit from the Imam, and through them the society would be able to benefit from the actually fountain of the divine favor. So that's why we can mention also this point, that the knowledge of the fact that the Imam actually is a witness to the actions of individuals, and that he might reappear anytime, is an effective factor in hindering one to commit a sin and observe the divine laws. These are some of the important benefits that that are mentioned in our riwayat as well, that when Imam is hidden but our deeds are reported to this Imam and he observes our deeds, either good deeds or bad deeds, and of course then the people would be more hopeful, they will not be hopeless, and they will be more careful and cautious about whatever they do in their lives, and to observe the actually Islamic rulings in their lives and to apply them in their lives. This Imam is the main cause and the reason for being faithful in this time that Imam is in his occultation. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Rouhani in the program The Key on RIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Amazon.
Part 1.
If you observe the Earth from the space, you may not find all natural features that you studied in geography books, such as mountains, lakes, rivers, plains, etc. They don't look like the same as you imagined. You can't see the Mount Everest from that large distance, but there are features that can be seen easily from the space, like the Amazon River. The Amazon River is approximately 6,500 to 6,800 kilometers long and has an average discharge of about 215,000 to 230,000 cubed per second. The Amazon River sets the record in terms of the sheer volume of water. It is the largest rainforest ecosystem in the world. The jungles surrounding the Amazon River are considered the lungs of the planet. It is home to numerous different species. There are thousands of distinct creatures in the Amazon, and you can find everything there. There is also a large company that has been active for 25 years in Seattle, US, where you can find everything you need except houses, cars, cigarettes, and predatory animals. These are actually Jeff Bezos' red lines. He's the founder and CEO of Amazon, who had big dreams since he was a primary school student. He's one of the richest men in the world. In the 70s, when he was a primary school student, he wrote an essay and mentioned his dreams. Bezos stressed that Earth is the most precious planet and thought about moving off this planet. He thought of a gigantic ship that could be home to people. In that time, Bezos just wrote his dreams, but now he thinks seriously about that project. Jeff Bezos unveils his grand space plans in his conferences. He talks about his plan for colonizing the space. According to many, this plan is not practical and seems funny to them. It is as funny as one person became the richest person on Earth by selling his books. Jeff Bezos did the same thing and now owns the largest retail store in the world. In the beginning, he just sold books and nothing else.
Amazon.com. This virtual shop claims to be the world's largest bookstore.
Here's my computer. Amazon.com up on the screen.
For many decades, bookstores did not pay attention to technological advances and the fundamental changes, and only used to sell books. They dealt with the return of the books and small sizes of the warehouses. People were also used to buy books in large cities. Bezos graduated from Princeton University in 1986 with degrees in electrical engineering and computer science. He worked on Wall Street in a variety of related fields afterwards. Then he thought about selling books online. He later said in an interview that when he realized in 1994 that the use of the internet had grown 23 times compared to the previous year, it was a better idea to invest in this industry. Most of the people didn't see this type of data useful at all. 2 years later, he sold the first book online.
We all know that a communications revolution is underway in this country.
What is the internet?
It's sort of the mother of all networks.
It's information highways.
It's kind of like your remote control to the world.
I came across the startling statistic that web usage was growing at 2,300% a year. So I decided I would try and find a business plan that made sense in the context of that growth. And I picked books as the first best product to sell online.
Soon, publishers and libraries welcomed Amazon's activities and started to sell and buy books online. Then, Amazon revenue increased day by day. In 1996, Amazon grew its revenue to $16 million. This company was founded with an investment of $300,000 by Jeff Bezos' Cuban stepfather. Net sales for fiscal 1997 were $147.8 million, an 838% increase over net sales of $15.7 million reported for fiscal 1996. This year, Amazon's book warehouses were the size of 6 football fields. At that time, people realized that a giant had stepped into the world of information technology. Jeff Bezos used a very simple method to earn money. He found an easy way to sell books. He owned large book warehouses. Amazon started to ask for small discounts from publishers to have the books, and then sell them online. It didn't matter to Bezos where you lived. Wherever a person had access to the internet, there was a branch of Amazon and the book would reach him in the shortest possible time. Customers used to buy these books cheaper than other stores. The number of Amazon users increased for the same reason. Amazon served over 17 million customer accounts. Customers also used to buy DVDs and musical instruments as well. In fact, Bezos used the book as a drug. People in all around the world were addicted to Amazon and its books, and Bezos tried to come up with new items in his company. He used to tell his employees that this is just the beginning. In the beginning of the 21st century, Bezos began selling more products on Amazon. Amazon started to suggest new products to customers every time. Considering all these products, books were the most important products for people in that time. Amazon's revenue reached more than $2.7 billion in the first year of the new century. In the following year, Amazon's revenue exceeded $3 billion. There were more than 20 million customers. Amazon moved its warehouses to other cities around the world. In this way, customers received their products in the shortest time.
Amazon could soon become the Walmart of the internet.
There were thousands of businesses eager to sell online. Bezos offered them a way to do it.
Amazon is transforming itself from an online bookstore to an online mall.
He transformed Amazon into a retail platform where anyone could sell their goods to his customers, and invited thousands of other businesses to be a part of it.
It's the easiest place for anybody, small or large, who wants to set up shop online, to sell online, because they can access our 12 million plus customers. Anybody, all comers.
In 2003, Amazon launched Search Inside the Book. Users were allowed to search for the desired term in a book without purchasing it. Publishers cautiously agreed that Amazon would scan some books and turn them into searchable text. In fact, Bezos was promoting the digital book industry at that time. In that time, Apple controlled the music market with iPad and iTunes, and Bezos didn't want to lose his control over the book market. A year later, Bezos set up a lab in Silicon Valley. He asked his researchers to build a device to read digital books. In this laboratory, he said to the project officials,
you must develop a strategy in such a way that everyone who sells books in physical form will no longer have a job. It seemed that Bezos wanted to destroy himself. At the end of 2007, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos unveiled Kindle DX in New York. It was a simple and light device that could store 200 books downloaded from Amazon with a significant improvement compared to previous models. Bezos announced that the price of best-selling and new books would be $9.99 regardless of volume and quality. Bezos was inspired by the sale of 99-cent Apple songs on iTunes. The unveiling of Kindle DX once again attracted attention to Amazon. This showed that Bezos was very forward-thinking. Bezos was able to increase Amazon's revenue to about $15 billion in 2007. After almost 25 years since the establishment of Amazon, the income has reached $300 billion. This made Bezos the richest person on Earth with a fortune of $185 billion, higher than Bill Gates and Elon Musk. Bezos still keeps his old things in a corner of his office in Seattle to remember where he started and where he ended up. Now he has more than 580,000 employees all over the world. Amazon plays an important role in the employment of people in the United States of America. He has made the Amazon very similar to the Amazon River. And now for many of the 310 million users of this site, it is unimaginable to live a day without Amazon. However, if we travel to the Amazon forests, maybe our opinion will change completely. What we see from a distance is very different from the reality of Amazon. Barnes & Noble was the largest bookstore in the United States for many years. This bookstore, which started in 1886 in New York, now has nearly 627 retail stores across the United States. This bookstore is one of the most important competitors that was pushed out of the book market by Amazon, and now has to close several of its stores every year. Maybe the fate of this bookstore is the same fate as the Borders bookstore, which finally surrendered in 2011 after 32 years of experience and declared bankruptcy. Another 1,000 small bookstores filed for bankruptcy between 2000 and 2007. Now, Amazon's share of the printed book market is about 50%, and this share in the ebook market is about 75%. But the question is, how could Amazon bring such a disaster to traditional bookstores and publishers in less than a decade after its establishment?
More than 10,000 employees will lose their jobs as a result.
Getting the news today, it's upsetting. We tried. We tried. We gave it our best.
When Bezos started selling books online in the 90s, bookstores had been operating in the old way for almost 100 years. In this old way, publishers were paid very late and had to collect the returned books. They didn't have enough information about their customers. Bookstores acted instinctively. Amazon's sales method quickly attracted the attention of publishers. Publishers preferred to hand over the books to Amazon to sell them at a discount.
My present concern, though, is that Amazon,
by selling what are called front list ebooks, that is, the books that are in most demand, by selling them below cost, are creating artificial incentives for people to move from physical books to ebooks. And I don't think that that's right.
The strange growth of Amazon and the profit that publishers received made them dependent on this company. Every time a book was introduced on Amazon, thousands of purchase requests were registered. Selling books became prosperous. Many believed that if Amazon had not been established, perhaps the book printing and book selling industry would have been disappeared by now.
Amazon was very important to the success of my book. I know that they do a lot of internal marketing efforts. They're able to tell what kinds of books people like, and therefore when they recommend a book to one of their customers, it's based on previous purchases and previous kinds of books that that person has read. So I do think that that really helped to get my book in front of potential readers.
When publishers became more dependent on Amazon, it was Bezos' turn to change Amazon's structure. Bezos believes that the whole market should be for himself alone. This means the maximum reduction in prices. So Amazon announced that from then on, publishers should give more discounts to Amazon, which reached up to 50% of the price of the back cover of the book. Bezos' decision greatly reduced publishers' profits. On the other hand, if a publisher like Macmillan rejected this offer, Amazon would remove the purchase option for this publisher's books, or customers wouldn't be able to see Macmillan's books on the front page of Amazon's website, which actually meant the destruction of publishers. Another important event in the new century was the change of Amazon's algorithms. Earlier, the editors and content producers recommended the books and reviewed them. But since 2000, it was the personalization algorithm that determined which books to recommend to whom. It was based on previous purchases and Amazon's knowledge of the customers. Then, if Amazon were to introduce a book, publishers would have to pay $10,000. According to Amazon's contract and confidentiality policies, it will never be known what effect these ads would have on sales. Kindle DX wireless reading device worsened the situation for the publishers.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Brothers and sisters, we're going to pick up our discussion where we left off, which was taqwa. Taqwa as taught by Quran. So there's some fallacies that we have to make sure we've understood and that we share with other people. So the example was this. You and I, let's say that we've gone on a road trip. Myself, my spouse, and small children on a road trip. We're in a deserted area, and in this deserted area, our vehicle stops. We do have supplies, but the amount of supplies that we have would probably last us about a day. Now, we check the GPS, And about a day's walk from us is a village. And in that village, they have the things that we need. People are there, supplies are there, there's even a rental car over there. But there is a challenge. The challenge is this. In the desert, we're in a kind of deserted area, there are some rattlesnakes. There are some rattlesnakes. But you know, snakes, they can't dig holes. So many times, if there is a burrow, an animal is abandoned, the rattlesnake would hide in there. Okay. Now, we have supplies and we have to think now. I have supplies, but I can only stay here for one day. If I stay, I starve. My children perish. I can't, staying is not an option. I do have to leave, right? But wisdom says that I walk carefully. I don't want to take these children and then accidentally step into a snake's den and get bitten by a rattlesnake. So the intellect dictates, wisdom dictates, that I proceed with caution. I make movement. I go to that village. I don't, right? We would laugh if someone said, well, I'll just wait here and starve. I'm not going to take any action. We would say, well, you know, that's not. If somebody said on the other way, no, I'll just walk and I'm just going to close my eyes. Inshallah, there's no snakes. We also would say, well, good luck. Right? Neither one of those would be taqwa. Taqwa is proceeding with, okay. So what happens is, intelligence meant, taqwa that we're describing in the Quran, intelligence means I would proceed, but with caution. I would be careful. I'm aware that there are dangers. I look out and I try my best, but I definitely take action. Now, this is important. This is, again, back to that initial question. The question was this. Well, doesn't everybody, aren't all human beings wired this way, that if we see that there's danger, we look out, we try and avoid it? If something's in our interest, what wise person would walk around and something's harmful for me, something's dangerous for me, and I'm not going to take practical, proactive steps to avoid it? Doesn't everybody do that? And the answer is no. Everybody doesn't. There are some people here in the dunya who also live lives that are not wise, not wise even. But some people are very wise, very clever, look out for their interests. But you know what? It suddenly stops when it comes to the akhirah. For the dunya, I look out for my interests, I'm clever, I'm smart, right? But then when it comes to the akhirah, well, that's dangerous too. Well, there's hell there. Right? Why won't you take steps to avoid those dangers? You've been wired this way. Now, we read a verse of Quran, and I just want to share this verse for us to look at again. So the Surah Najm, brothers and sisters, Surah 53 and verse number 30. Yes, alhamdulillah. 53:30. Can you guys look at the Arabic with me? The thing is, brothers and sisters, the reason for going over these verses is you and I could do passive learning. We're sitting, we're listening, we're conventions in the Quran, but there's another time when you and I were becoming whisperers for the lost. We're affecting other circles. Everyone does not think like us. We've heard the leader wants us to do jihad tabyin, a clarification jihad, right? What is Islam? What isn't Islam? We should talk to other people. We need to know the ayat. Okay, so brothers and sisters are following along with me. In the ayat of the Quran, we say that ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ That مَبْلَغُهُمْ, that's the distance, the extent, مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. They only have this much knowledge, right? When it comes to the akhirah, I make sense. I take wise steps, right? The question that we're asking people is, why, when it comes to the akhirah, the rules don't apply? Why did the aql stop working? Okay. Now, I remember being on an airplane once. And someone, I'm sharing this because I want you guys to be able to talk to other people. Once, I was sitting on an airplane, and a man asked me a very important question. He told me, he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like this. God's merciful. We say in Quran, God is arhamur rahimin. God's merciful. Then he asked me this question. He said, could a merciful God torture someone? He said, I couldn't, a human being, they did wrong to me, but sit there and torture them? I couldn't even do that. Would a merciful God torture someone for their sins? I wouldn't do that. Okay, now, Allah's arhamur rahimin. You guys are taking Islam so seriously. Relax. Okay? The same way that the person was thinking, why is it you're so serious about the dunya, but when it comes to the akhirah, well, I'll figure it out on the other side. Allah's arhamur rahimin. Right? We're like, well, you must have nerves of steel. You're going to figure it out on the other side? But how do you answer, though? How many of you, one of our answers? In the Quran, I'm going to show you the verse. What you and I are saying is it's not God torturing you in the hereafter. Your actions right here, right now you're sitting in a majlis in honor of Ahlul Bayt. You're learning about Quran. You're learning about your religion. You're preparing for the imam. This action in the hereafter will take on a corporal form. And you've heard this ayat of the Quran. If you take the money of the orphans, you're actually ingesting fire. You can't see it right now, but you're ingesting fire. If I do ghiba, if I'm backbiting, I'm eating the flesh of my dead brother, right? In the here, so that's actually happening right now. It takes on a corporal form then. You see it. So now verse of Quran. And let's see if brothers and sisters can see this verse of the Quran. Hopefully I got it right. If you can turn to Surah Kahf. There's many verses of the Quran about this. There's many ayat, a hadith of Ahlul Bayt about the same subject. I'm sharing one of them. Right? The idea is the actions take on corporal form. Okay. This is important for our answer. So Surah Kahf. So let's look in Surah Kahf. It's Surah 18 and verse number 49. 1849. Anybody find it? Alhamdulillah, brothers, sisters beat the brothers. Alhamdulillah. All right. Let's look at the verse. Let's look at the Arabic with me, brothers and sisters. Wawajadu. They find. Ma'amilu. They find what they did. Wajadu. They find what they did. Hadira. They find it to be present. It's not God torturing you. You were doing this to yourself. The question is, why are you so mean to yourself? Why aren't you looking out for your akhirah? Why don't you care about your real interests? Not that, well, God, no, Allah's arhamur rahimin. He's told you this is what happens. Okay. So, you see, from an Islamic point of view, you can imagine the malaika looking at somebody, and the person's like, well, Allah's arhamur rahimin. And the malaika just looking at themselves and just shaking their heads. ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ Their brains stop working.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
رَحِي كَرِيمٌ عَظِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, The Viewpoints. Here in the studio, I am with Brother Ali and Sheikh Agha Mohammadi, Islamic scholars and researchers. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, brother. Thanks for inviting me to this show.
Democratic countries, we see so much governments all around the globe, and most of them are having some of them their own difficulties these days. They say that they have the support of people, but today, this is the question. And also we have some governments, some religious or Islamic governments all around the globe. Both claim that they're having their people's support. They have, people all around them. Here today, we're going to discuss these ideas. So I would like to ask my question from Brother Ali. Is this... can you define the differences between these two types of governments, and which one has the right claim?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. To define these two types of governing system, I think it's not possible in this
period of
time. And to even talk about the characteristics of any of these two different systems of government. But we can just tackle and just look, a brief look at these two systems of government in brief. Democracy is a kind of government that actually takes its legitimacy from the people and from the votes of the people.
They claim that.
Yeah. So people actually are coming in the scene and they are selecting a group of people and they vote them and they select them as their leaders. And they are actually obliging themselves to obey those they have selected and elected through elections. But in an Islamic governing system, which is different, which is essentially different with this system, we believe that the government and this governing system has been taken from religion, from Islam. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the creator that knows what kind of plan and programs are needed for these creatures, for his creatures on the scene of the earth. So one of the sources of, let's say, the source of legitimacy of the governing system in democracy is people. But what is it in Islamic government? It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does it mean that people have no vote, have no say in Islamic governing system? Definitely people have their own place. The rights of the people, the votes of the people are seen in Islamic system. It doesn't mean that they are not going to be seen. The voices of the people are heard and seen quite clearly. But the legitimacy of it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that in the issue of legitimacy, there are some issues. The legitimacy of democracies is still under question. For example, are people able to write a program, a plan, a comprehensive governing system for themselves while still they have some issues in understanding some of the basics? For a second, suppose that the people have selected and elected a group of let's say, statesmen and a group of leaders for themselves. But what if we see that there are some conflicts in top with Allah's will or in with Allah's orders and Allah's rules and obligations? So what is going to be the, how can we digest this then? But in the Islamic system, these are the people who come towards Imam or the leader of the society and actually welcome him and accept him as their Imam. I mean, look, people are selecting whom? Those who have been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. I mean, we have seen lots of prophets in the history, but the prophets, without the help and support of people, did not make any government. Let's look at Imam Ali alayhi salam's government. He was appointed, I mean, from the viewpoint of legitimacy, he was legitimated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Imam and the successor of the Holy Prophet. But when people came and invited him to become the leader of the society, he finds his acceptability from the side of the people, not legitimacy. Legitimacy, or what we call it, mashru'iyah, comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means both are seen here in Islamic system. That is, in an Islamic system, we have the votes, the ideas, the views of the people piled to the views and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the basic crises that actually exist in the system of democracy is the issue of legitimacy. Its legitimacy is under question. Because, I mean, with one simple example, I just want to invite my respected brother to shed some light on that. We see that, for example, a group of people, let's say 70, 50, 80, I don't know, percent of the people come and vote for their administration. Then how about the votes of the others? Let's say the other 30% who did not attend the elections. Are their votes are going to be seen or they are ignored? Suppose that in an election, as we see in the modern countries, that we see even the rate of participation in the elections goes to, for example, 40 or 50%. So then how about the rights of the others, other 60 or 50% who have not yet voted and who have not yet participated? So that's why we say that there is a problem or crisis inside the system of government in democracy. We don't want to say that democracy is against Islam, but we can perfect democracy with the system that we have introduced with an Islamic system. That is, in Islamic system, the votes of the people, the rights of the people are seen and valued 100%, not 70, 30, or 50%. 100%. And at the same time, the will of Allah is there.
So, okay. So we need to have both of them together. So I would like to ask your comments on this question. And what do you think?
As you said, talking about democracy, my brother very well elaborated that. Democracy means that people have right to decide for themselves. If you consider that definition, so we see that democracy and any other ruling is considering the issue of rights over about imposing somebody's will over others. So if it is so, the question is that who is going to give rights to people? You know, when we look at the Western and secular democracy, you ask them that when you're talking about the rights, that people have right to choose, people have right to decide, people have these rights that are the foundation, the cornerstone for democracy, where this right is coming from? A simple question is that, who said man has a right? So this is one of the fundamental philosophical questions for the law. They say what we have is social contract. So what, you ask a question, what should demand me, what should impose it upon me as an individual to give up and to accept the demand which is coming from somebody as authority? They say because there is a social contract.